Hey, welcome to the Creative Classroom Podcast, where we look at the intersection of creativity and student learning. I'm your host, John Spencer. I'm a former middle school teacher, current college professor, and I'm passionate about seeing schools embrace design thinking and creativity and become bastions of wonder and curiosity and pretty much student-centered learning. This month, we've been looking at this concept of vintage learning, and it's not necessarily, quote, traditional learning. It's actually not that at all. It's the idea that there are some amazing concepts, ideas, strategies, tools that are old school. Not old school in the gym teacher that yelled at you kind of old school with a crew cut. Like, that's not the old school we're looking at. We're looking much, much deeper than that, much older than that. It's the idea that sometimes the best voices have been hidden by distance and by space and time. It's the idea that some of the best tools are analog and hands-on. And so we're exploring this concept because last month we explored something kind of the opposite, which was the future of learning. And right now, what we're looking at is this idea that maybe, just maybe, we should have simulations. It's kind of not necessarily an old school idea, but it's an idea that's very low tech. Just hear me out. Two students in my social studies pedagogy class chose an area that they knew students would find confusing and maybe even a little boring. Ancient China in particular. And not just ancient China, but ancient China and trade and geopolitical structures and how they manipulated that. I know, really, really exciting stuff, right? Now, if you love history, then yes, this is exciting, and you don't hear any irony in my voice, but if you're anyone else, you would understand that this is not necessarily what kids find inherently exciting about history. And so these two students knew that their classroom students would lack both the prior knowledge and the intrinsic motivation to learn this topic. In other words, you won't see kids flocking to the library to check out a book on ancient Chinese trade practices. You're going to see, you know, aliens on the History Channel, but probably not see, you know, a whole series devoted to ancient Chinese trade. It's just not that exciting to people. But then this happened. A few nights ago, this pair delivered their lessons for our class. Instead of starting with an informational text or a lecture to build prior knowledge, they started with a simulation. Here's what they did. They divided the class up into small groups and passed out cards with trade items. Then, at each round, groups rolled the dice and determined the potential yields on natural resources, followed by the chance to trade with other groups in an open market. But there was a catch. The teacher, representing China, determined the cost of silk, and that alone influenced every other part of the market. And it soon became apparent that really, China determined the cost of everything. Now, in the end, we had a firm understanding on the role of luck in natural resource, the bitterness that can happen between nations that are trading when they feel like they're not getting a good bargain, the role of trade in commerce, in international relationships, and the way that one nation could use economic imperialism to control their neighbors. Now, that's a whole lot to unpack, right? But we figured that out in the course of, I don't know, probably about 20 minutes. And we learned it in a way that was really, really memorable, in a way that people can go back to at any time. And that's this concept of simulations. Now, here's why simulations lead to deeper learning. Now, when I taught social studies, we often used simulations to process complex ideas. We did a communist, capitalist, and socialist version of Monopoly before students ultimately bargained on how to create a mixed economy, which is kind of a hard idea for some students to wrap their brains around, the nuance of most modern and postmodern globalized economies, that they are inherently mixed. We played a modified version of risk in order to understand how the alliance system and imperialism and even nationalism would contribute toward World War One, and how this single small event of someone getting shot could launch a war. We turned the class into a factory in order to learn about industrialization, the environment, and the labor movement. We did a paper ball fight to see the aspects of the Civil War and who had advantages and disadvantages going into it. Now, notice that simulations don't have to be confined to social studies. That's just the context that I'm bringing up. They can actually work in just about any subject where you're trying to think about a complex, abstract idea or system. For example, when I was a kid, I learned about the difference between predators and prey and how they affected the ecosystem by doing a predator and prey tag game. And that made sense to me forever. That was always this metaphor I came back to. When kids were learning about integers in my class, we would play a simulation called Integer War. And I got this from this amazing teacher that I worked with before, Derek Etheridge, and he's now a principal in Phoenix, Arizona. But he taught me this idea of doing a simulation of integer war, and that would help them understand what negatives and positive numbers essentially do to each other. And so it's not something that you just do in social studies. It's something that you do anywhere where you're trying to make sense out of complex ideas and systems. And they're pretty much anytime you're taking something abstract and trying to make it more visible, more concrete, if you will. And so here are some of the benefits I see to using simulations. Number one, simulations bridge the abstract and the concrete, which I just mentioned. They are fully immersive. You are moving around, physically maneuvering your environment to make sense out of the information. And this makes you go deeper through this bridge of the abstract and the concrete. Number two, the information sticks after a simulation. They become mental models that students go back to in order to make sense out of the information they have learned. Number three, student engagement skyrockets. Well, maybe not skyrockets, but it certainly increases. Most simulations have a goal in mind, and students are actively making decisions that allow them to process the information in real time. They go beyond what Schlechte calls strategic compliance. This is where you have high attention but low commitment, and into a place where you have full buy-in or student engagement. Number four, students at any ability level can access the information in a simulation. It's not necessarily reading dependent or writing dependent. It doesn't necessarily require you to be a gifted learner or anything like that. In other words, it is something that really evens the playing field. And that's significant because every student can access the information in a simulation. And number five, and perhaps the most important, is that simulations push and promote critical thinking. Students are making decisions that require the analysis and synthesis of information. And then later they take this simulation, right? This model, this metaphor, whatever you want to call it, and you can answer critical thinking questions. For example, in that factory simulation that I mentioned before, students answered questions about the pros and cons of industrialization, or how labor unions manipulated the supply and demand curve of labor and products, or how it would impact society. Now, this was significant because that's a really abstract idea that suddenly became concrete. But it's not just that they understand it, it's that they're analyzing it. They're looking at pros and cons of it. They're digging deeper into it. So, keeping simulations low tech, hear me out on this. Online simulations have existed since the days of the Oregon Trail. And I remember because I was there actively avoiding dying of dysentery on the bright green road to Oregon. Online simulations can provide a faster, cleaner, easier way for students to make sense out of the information. And we see this all the time. There's tons and tons of really cool online simulations. But what if the goal isn't necessarily going faster, cleaner, and easier? What if the very physical, tangible, messy, chaotic elements of a physical simulation actually lead to higher engagement and deeper thinking? There's something powerful about the tangible element in a low-tech simulation. So one of the things I love about things like Breakout EDU, and I understand why it's blowing up, and it's because it inspires students to solve problems by manipulating objects in real time in the real world. This tactile element is something we sometimes lose sight of when we push toward all things digital. Yes, online games are great. I'm not saying we abandon them. And it's true that virtual reality is just beginning to take off, and it's going to take us places we've never imagined before. But I would argue physical simulations remind us that the most realistic virtual reality might just be the world we are actively making virtual with our minds and with note cards and paper. Physical simulations are less programmed. They're more adaptable. They don't require an additional interface in order to use them. And that's important because when you're on a screen, it creates this, well, screen. It's an artificial distance that you don't have in a physical simulation. But when you've created an online, or when you've created a factory or a game of Risk, or you're doing dodgeball to illustrate something connected to integers, right? When you're doing that, it's very physical. It's very there, and it's very present. And that's important. There's nothing getting in the way of you and the simulation. There's no interface. There's no device. Nothing like that. When McKinsey and Austin, these two students, created their Chinese trade simulation, we could see the changes in price firsthand. We could watch it being manipulated not by a program, but by the reality of this situation we were in. If we had participated in an on-screen simulation of Chinese trade, it would have felt distant. We would have felt on some level like we were watching it from far away rather than actively making it happen right there in our class. Our world is changing. I get that. Social media means we can live one foot in the digital world and one foot in the physical world. And virtual reality is just beginning to reach viability. Artificial intelligence is still in its primitive stages, but it is changing the way we think. And augmented reality finally hit mainstream this summer with Pokemon Go. None of those trends scare me. In fact, they excite me. But sometimes, the most innovative solution isn't high tech. Sometimes it's vintage. And sometimes the best way to be relevant is to step away from the digital and the virtual and the abstract and to embrace the tangible and the tactile and the present, and to augment your reality with nothing more than your imagination. And that's why I love face-to-face physical simulations. So thank you for listening to the Creative Classroom Podcast. If you enjoy this podcast at all, I would encourage you to leave a review on iTunes or Google Play. It's now on Play, which is kind of cool. So it's available in both places. And again, a review helps it kind of rise to the top in education. It helps people find this podcast. And that always feels good for me when there's people listening to it. Call me narcissistic or call me a person who just appreciates when people enjoy stuff. But whatever it is, I do appreciate it. I love hearing feedback, and it helps me refine what I'm doing and become better. So thanks a lot.